Hi, and welcome to the Win-Win Podcast. I am your host, Shauna Sumalong. Join us as we dive into changing trends in the workplace and how to navigate them successfully. A study conducted by Gartner states that change is the new constant, and that only 34% of organizations successfully navigate change management. So what are some best practices for making sure that change sticks within your organization? Training plays a key role. Here to discuss this topic is Vincent Drapeau, the Director of Sales Training at Intralinks. Thanks for joining us, Vincent. I would love for you to tell us about yourself, your background, and your role.
Thank you, Shauna. It's my pleasure to be here. As you said, I'm the Director of Sales Training for Intralinks. We are in the financial services tech world, so we really serve a tech component to the financial services institutions. And I do manage today a team of five, but I did start as a sales trainer, and that was already almost 10 years ago. And I jumped in a little bit by accident after having spent some time in the tech world, in that company, in their competitors. I learned the job of sales enablement, sales training on the go. I've seen the practice of sales enablement evolving from moving from under L&D to sales to becoming sales enablement. And I think we'll be speaking about that today.
Absolutely. And on LinkedIn, you actually share that you are, you know, in quotes, inventing the future of revenue enablement. And with the future comes change. Can you share a little bit about how you think about inventing the future to adapt to change in your training programs?
Yes, on my LinkedIn profile, I mentioned that I want to take part of inventing the future of sales enablement. And actually, this is stole from Highspot themselves. So as I said, I grew with the practice, and revenue enablement have grown a lot in the last 10 years. And we now have like a multitude of vendors helping companies, enabling their sales force. And I think the reason behind it is because the selling motion, but also like the changes that sales organization like ours have to face is increasing. There is more and more change every year in the strategy. A lot more companies have to be agile in the market that we serve and have to rethink their strategy. Maybe not like their long-term strategy all the time, but like every month, every quarter, a new element and a new piece of strategy is evolving, or a new tool is being added in front of the salespeople. So there has been an element and a need to streamline a little bit how we equip salespeople so they can be reactive to change in their workspace.
Absolutely. Now, Vincent, before Highspot, what did your training programs look like at Intralinks?
I think before Highspot and before that shift, and you know, I think we were talking about training when I started. It was all about, let's put 400 people into a WebEx and let's tell them something for 1 hour, right? And people will be stopping what they were doing, joining this WebEx, not necessarily paying the full on attention, probably multitasking at the same time. Some of them not joining, so we would have a lot of issues tracking who's joined, who's not joined. Are you going to give them a recording of a 1 hour of you talking? And how are you going to make sure that they watch that recording if they didn't join the live training? So that's what training used to look. I mean, there was already some e-learning. There was already a bit more than those WebEx. But really, that's the world we come from, right? Last minute, let's organize a WebEx training. We want to communicate something to sales. Let's organize a 1 hour WebEx conversation.
Very interesting. And how would you say your training programs have evolved since deploying Highspot's training and coaching? And how has that, you know, back to my initial question, helped you essentially invent the future for enablement at your company?
Yes, I think what is very important in what Highspot provides, but in general, like what you can try to do with a better sales enablement strategy or better training is to really embed the training component within everything else, right? The definition of a new initiative, why it's important, what you are trying to achieve, what does the salesperson need to learn and do differently. So it's not all about training. There is an element of communications. And if we're talking about a new go-to-market initiatives, maybe penetrating a new industry or reinforcing messages on specific customers' use case. The salespeople need to use the material that they've learned or that they've used during their learning to then share with their customers, right? So HighSpot training and coaching and HighSpot in general provides that one single platform where the same user experience is used by salespeople, the same user interface is used to interact with content that I can share with the customer, content that I use for my own learning, my own education, and then maybe the practice environment where I'm going to practice how to deliver that content to customers. So I think that integration, that's what has changed, and that's what helped us providing more training. Because as I said earlier on, there is more and more change coming up. So every year, a salesperson will go through new initiatives, new tools to learn multiple times. So that integration is very important.
Absolutely. And you teed up the next question perfectly, Vincent. How do you prepare reps to navigate change through training?
Yes, and I think that's something I could also add back to the previous question. The idea of that one single platform that is used to host any type of communication document that a person needs to know allows us to integrate into the life of a salesperson from day one. And I think if by day one you immerse them into an ecosystem and it's supported, it happens to be supported by HighSpot at Intronix, but whatever, an ecosystem that prepares them for a communication and a learning experience that prepares them for continuous change coming up across, right? But of course, change management is also a big communication effort. So communicate as early as you can, sales kickoff, continue communicating, and release your trainings before the change actually have to happen. For example, if you want a new tools to go live on June 1st, release the training on May 15 and give them the time to get ready to learn before the actual event kicks off.
I love that. Those are some great tips and tricks. Now, I am curious, oftentimes putting together training means collaborating with a lot of subject matter experts across the organization. How do you collaborate with your SMEs and sales leaders to continuously improve your training programs?
Yes, we are lucky at Intronix to have project management organization that really takes those questions early on in advance. So they have built a very regular cadence to discuss with a very small working group where sales enablement is often invited, first for our own education, but also to know what's maybe changing and coming up. So I think, yeah, having that communication, that regular cadence where people at the sales enablement level are invited helps a lot to know what's coming up and build a relationship as with the SMEs. So when you need that specific SME for a specific initiative, you have to build a conversation and the communication or the relationship already. Our PMO team also involves and invites sales leaders to those questions and to those meetings. So that really helps as well to prepare the sales leader to integrate them into the change management or into the preparation of the training. And then in my team, I have a trainer in each of our main geo, and I get those trainers in front of the managers, the sales leaders of every sublocation, so that they constantly are in front of our sales leader, building those relationships and making sure that messages is reinforced and then new messaging coming up can be anticipated.
Now, outside of delivering lessons and courses to your sales reps, how, Vincent, do you reinforce training after it's been rolled out? And how do you involve frontline managers to continue to help reinforce training through their coaching efforts?
Yeah, great question. I mean, this is the key, right? Delivering lessons and courses is just not enough, right? We have to think about that ecosystem of what is your learning objective, what will be the component of your learning. And there is the lesson and the course on the platform, but maybe there is also still an element of live training. And nowadays, we really look into how do you use that live, in-person or virtual on Zoom, WebEx, Teams component of your training? You know, like, do you use 1 hour of your sales reps' time to tell them what to learn or do you actually use that time to make them practice in small group something they've learned, maybe, for example, in the e-learning as a pre-work? You can use tools such as Sales Plays, which is a feature of iSpot that really organize content, either as a pre-work, post-work, for them to really categorize the information they need to learn, what they can say to customer, what they can show to customer, share with customer. And then for management involvement, yes, very, very important. And I think we'll touch about that in a minute. You try to really hone on the managers to get them to track completion and show completion of training. And to help them, maybe you give them like some activities around grading some video questions, for example, such as a pitch or a demo. Of course, you can let manager and you encourage manager to continue the reinforcement of the learning through a role play, for example. And I think that's something that's coming into the platform that we are waiting a little bit more, you know, like how do we encourage the role play setting and setup directly within the high spot learning environment so that, you know, you ensure yourself as a sales enablement person that the manager indeed did their follow-up part of the training. That's coming up.
I love that. You joined us at our annual user conference last fall, Spark 22, and you were recognized for driving incredible adoption of training and coaching at Intralinks. Can you share some best practices there for how you drive adoption of your training programs?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, it was an honor to be recognized at Spark. So thank you again. And I think what happened is that when we joined iSpot training and coaching, we were iSpot users already, but we did have our training and coaching on another platform and we migrated, but we already had like some very strong, robust processes around training reinforcement. And I think as I was preparing for this podcast, the key part, and is something that we want to continue rethink, is to make training mandatory, right? And on an onboarding program, it's pretty easy. You have a person joining, and for the first 2 months, all they can do really is to be trained. So you can easily put in place some processes to track the fact that the mandatory training is completed. We do a welcome call personalized for every new hire on day one, so to make sure that they get started and they do utilize the material that has been crafted for and consistently updated. Beyond onboarding, helping the managers to track completion, to ensure completion, to give them all the tools together really help you to have great adoption of training. And I think that's what gave us such great numbers that iSpot recognizes, is because we had those processes to help enforce completion of training. And I think that's a caveat for the future. You know, I think we want to be able to rethink a little bit onboarding in the future. Today, we have that attention span of a new hire for 2 months, but we try to cram way too much information for a new hire on that onboarding program because we want to use that advantage of it's mandatory, it's 2 months, it's the time where it makes more sense for them to concentrate on training more than field activities, for example. But it's also not enough, right? Because you give them skills that they are not maybe able to hone right away, right? So you would like to be able to elaborate more mandatory post-onboarding, you know, months 3 to 6, for example, or 6 months to 1 year. So that's going to be our rest of 2023, 2024 thinking. How do we continue and improve there?
This is really interesting, Vincent. To drill a little bit deeper, I'd love to understand, what are the most important initiatives that you're focused on training reps in? And what is an example of how you've done this?
As I said, I think earlier on, there is so much more to absorb in a typical year for a salesperson. In tech specifically, I think it's the same in many other industry than it used to be before, right? Like from sales kickoff in January, February, all the way down to the end of your fiscal year as a sales rep, you know that what you will be doing in Q1 might be slightly different than what you're going to be doing in Q2, Q3, Q4 because of all this, either because, you know, our marketing team, our go-to-market team will provide you access to new material to target or retarget specific subset of customers. For example, we serve the financial services world, right? An event like the latest banking crisis that we've seen in the US in March, April, how do you respond to that? And how can we do a small campaign to a subset of sales rep so that they can target their messages to the right person at the right time to seize the opportunities that may arise from situation like this? So, and this type of situation, depending on the market, happens all the time. And to this, you add new products that you try to go to market with so that you create more value for your customers. And then you add your new tools that you want to develop and deploy for salespeople to improve their productivity. So all of a sudden during a year, there is a lot to learn and a lot to navigate through. So that streamlining is very important.
Absolutely. Now, on the topic of streamlining, what overall business metrics do you use to really understand if your training programs are having the desired impact? And how do you correlate that success with the work that you're doing in HighSpot?
That's the million-dollar question all the time. What's the return on investment of training, you know, of a trainer, of a platform that you purchase for training? It's always difficult. I think we're not talking about marginal gain, because I think it's much more than this. It's sometimes somehow difficult to look at metrics for each individual training program, training campaign, but you more have to look at maybe the idea of the learning culture that you are building in a sales organization. Do people adapt to change and adapt to change quickly to all those numerous changes that we were mentioning above? I think you can measure that, you know, do people feel completely lost? After 2 months of launching a go-to-market initiative, do you see result in your opportunity creation on that particular field? So there is a lot that can be measured. And HighSpot helps with that, with the pitching, linking pitching documents to customers, to those customers that are currently registered or recorded in Salesforce as being tagged on that opportunity. You can start putting dollar amounts behind the way you govern your sales portal like HighSpot. So that really helps to really show the impact of programs in general. I think training alone is not enough. It's really like how the programs impact the company and the numbers.
Wonderful. Last question for you, Vincent. This has been fantastic. To close, what would you say one thing is that you'd like our audience to take away from this conversation around what good sales training looks like?
Well, it's all about that integration. So you want to integrate your training to your overall learning objective. What do you want to accomplish? What do you want your reps to do differently today than from before? How are you going to make sure that beyond that learning moment, you're going to make sure that you're going to measure that it's actually being done in the field? So there is that element of integration. And then the second element is integrating training itself into the overall window of how people consume information, consume change. And training is only one part of that, one element of it. Think of the wider vision, not just the lesson, not just the course, not just sales training or sales enablement within the company, but the overall picture of everything.
I love that, Vincent. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
To our audience, thank you for listening to this episode of the Win-Win Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for more insights on how you can maximize enablement success with HighSpot.